And now the game where we ask accomplished people to come on and answer questions about things they know nothing about. Now, public radio is perhaps the most disorganized system in the world. It's kind of an anarchic cooperative. But it does have its royalty. And among them, without question, is our guest today, who helped to create public radio as we know it with his show, A Prairie Home Companion, which premiered 35 years ago this year. Garrison Keillor, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
I am not responsible for public radio, Peter.
You're not?
I refuse to accept responsibility.
But it's a pretty good thing.
You people are on your own.
But isn't it true? I mean, argue the point. You started the show, as I said, 35 years ago. Public radio was a pretty minor thing, but you became one of the first real stars. People started turning to public radio to hear your show, and they discovered all those other wonderful things that are now on it.
I don't recognize anything that you're saying. Accomplished. Accomplished. You apply that to pianists.
Well, let me congratulate you anyway. 35 years of Prairie Home Companion. It's quite remarkable.
It's just it happens when you have very poor job skills. You might get stuck in the same sort of trench.
You think so?
Yes.
So it was really a failure of you to learn to do anything else. Is what
I wasn't qualified for anything.
I understand.
As you get older, is it harder and harder to get funny? Be funny?
Could you ask me that question again?
That was Roy. Roy, go ahead.
Could you ask that question louder, please?
Have you gotten older enough that it's harder to be funny now, Gramps?
Getting older is a cinch. You just wait around. You just hang out.
Okay. I have been lucky enough to see you do your show live. It is a remarkable thing. And, of course, to see you do the news from Lake Wobegon, which most people don't know this, that you do not do that from, at least as far as I can see, any prepared notes or paper. You just wing it out there.
The text is projected onto the floorboards.
Oh, how excellent.
And onto the tips of my shoes.
So yes.
As long as I don't make eye contact with the audience, I'm fine.
I was going to ask you, because I know that you've been doing this for so long, but you do many other things. You've written many, many books, including your latest book, Liberty, a novel of Lake Wobegon. And essays, you're a columnist. One of my favorite things that you ever did, actually, was when you wrote an advice column for Salon.com, Ask Mr. Blue. And I just loved that. You were really good at that.
I advised young people such as yourself, Peter, not to get stuck. Not to get stuck, but to be free and to be adventurous. I recommended adventure. I recommended picking up and pulling out. I was a reckless advice columnist.
Really?
Yep.
You were just sending people. You basically light out for the territories. That was your.
I advised them that, and then my daughter got to the age when I didn't want her to be reading that sort of advice.
I see. You thought maybe she should not light out for the territories.
No, I thought that she should go to the visitation convent and stay there until the mood passed.
Hey, I wanted to ask you as well. I know that you were doing something a little different at the end of the year in New York City.
Hmm.
Do you know of which I refer?
I'm celebrating my daughter's birthday.
That's exciting.
In December.
No, I thought you'd be doing some singing.
Singing? I do sing.
Yes.
I sing now and then.
Yes.
In New York, I sing sometimes walking down a street. It's a protective measure in New York. If you can convince other people that you're a lunatic, nobody's going to bother you.
Right.
And the waves part in front of you.
Have you found certain songs more efficacious in convincing people of your dangerous lunacy?
I think the efficaciousness lies in singing in a foreign language.
Really?
Something. Norwegian works well.
Is it true that you're going to do a cabaret act in New York?
A cabaret, yes. I'm going to be in a cabaret.
And, a cabaret.
I'm going to sit on a stool in a black tie and tuxedo and sit in the crook of a piano and sing Gershwin and Irving Berlin.
That's very exciting.
I thought maybe you'd be draped across an auto heart.
I don't drape anymore.
No.
I used to drape.
I know you sing many occasions and have for years on Prairie Home, but will this be your first sort of solo concert outside that venue?
It'll be my first time in a dimly lit club in front of a small audience drinking mixed drinks.
Right.
Alcohol is something we've been doing without on a Prairie Home Companion for 35 years.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it really greases the skids.
Well, yeah. I used to be involved in the American theater, and I remember realizing what the secret to the American theater's revival will be once they figure it out.
Yeah.
And that is, I went to Las Vegas, and I saw a show, and they had a two-drink minimum,
uh-huh.
included with the ticket price. And, like,
yes.
that's it.
Yes.
Liquor them up. They'll love whatever you do.
Beer well, ears.
There's truth in that.
Yes, I think so. Well, speaking of loving what you do, Garrison Keillor, we're so honored to have you with us. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Where the men are unemployed, the women are bored, and the children tend to be obese.
Now, since you are an acknowledged authority on the stalwart, hardworking people of the northern climes, we thought we'd take you all the way around the world to Nauru, a tropical Pacific island. We'll ask you three questions about the island of Nauru. It was inspired by a profile of the island on This American Life. If you get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their home answering machine. So, Carl, who is Garrison Keillor playing for?
Peter, Garrison is playing for Jackson Cooper of Wake Forest, North Carolina.
Are you ready to play, Garrison?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Well, then let's do it now before you become less ready. Nauru is a superlative little island. It is the smallest independent nation in the world, and during the 1970s, it had what other distinction? Was that A, it had the world's highest per capita income, B, it boasted what a travel magazine called, quote, the world's most repulsive beach, or C, it was the only place in the world to find the world's most poisonous frog?
In multiple choice tests I took in college, mm-hmm. C was correct about two-thirds of the time.
I just want to point out that I also took those tests and learned that lesson.
I'm guessing C, the
poisonous frog. No, actually it was A, the highest per capita income.
You know, that was going to be my second choice.
I'm sure it was. The island is more or less made of phosphate, a very valuable mineral, or I should say it was made of phosphate. The islanders got extremely rich basically selling off their island. And now that it's all gone, they live poor and unemployed on a narrow coastal ring around a rocky wasteland. Next question. Now, having run out of phosphate, the islanders have tried to come up with new money-making schemes, including which of these? A, offering their island to movie companies as a stand-in for a hostile alien planet. B, investing in a big Broadway musical. Or C, offering the presidency of their country to anyone willing to pay $40 million for it.
I've so often found that C is the correct answer. Multiple choice test.
Yes. You think so, but you don't think that I would anticipate a mind such as yours working in that sophisticated way and take counteractive measures.
Yeah, I think they've offered the presidency to somebody willing to pay $40 million.
Because wouldn't it be fun to be the president of your own little tropical island, denuded as it might be?
Of course, my second choice would have been A.
I haven't called it yet, so you get to actually vary your choice if you choose.
I'm going to switch to A.
I'm going to switch to A.
I heard something in your voice.
So the movie company is the hostile alien planet.
Yes.
It was B. An Australian financial advisor convinced them to invest $2 million in a musical biography of Leonardo da Vinci that flopped. So that did not work out for them.
I have never trusted This American Life.
Really? There's just something so hip about them. It makes me uncomfortable.
And now I trust them even less.
I think you were wise to do so. Sadly, that remains true. You have one more question. Let's see what we do here. Optimism. Optimism.
B.
C. Just go for C.
Okay.
All right. Last question. Nauru, like a lot of Pacific islands, has a problem with obesity. It's made worse on Nauru by almost 90% unemployment. To deal with the epidemic, the government did what? A, held the first ever Nauru half marathon, one lap around the island, with five entrants and no finishers. B, they started a Just One Can of Spam Tonight public awareness campaign. Or C, they held a big is beautiful beauty pageant.
I've so often felt that C
yes.
is the answer on these tests.
C? You're going to go for C?
I think that they held a beauty contest.
And you were right, they did.
Oh, right.
Big is beautiful beauty contest. To his credit, the president of the Nauru did try to inspire the people of his island to exercise. He took a walk in public along the island's one airport runway, a whole kilometer. Mm-hmm. He was then airlifted off the island for emergency medical treatment soon thereafter.
Well, when you've paid $40 million to be the president,
that's true.
You can afford a helicopter.
Exactly. Carl, how did Garrison Keillor do in our quiz?
Garrison had one correct answer, Peter, but he needed two to win for Jackson Cooper.
Oh, well. Let me just ask you, the system of yours, how did it work out on the SATs?
I went to a land-grant university.
Yeah. Garrison Keillor is an author, storyteller, columnist, musician, and perhaps most famously the host of A Prairie Home Companion on public radio stations nationwide. His latest book is called Liberty, a Novel of Lake Wobegon. Garrison Keillor, thank you so much for joining us today.